So here we have the Magi, and they're looking for our Lord. They're looking for the King, okay? And so one of the things I'd like to do, because the Magi actually, all the characters in today's reading, today's gospel, really reflect us in a very deep spiritual sense. We need to find ourselves in each one of the characters. And in finding ourselves in each one of the characters, we can allow God to begin to bring the healing that we need. Now, in order to do this, in order to find ourselves in each one of the characters of today's gospel reading, we have to really, truly be honest with ourselves, okay, in our spiritual journey, in our faith journey here. And so let us begin to take a look at this. Like the Magi, they journey, like the Magi, we are journeying with them in our growth of faith here. Now, it's interesting to notice the Magi. Now, you know, in the psalm today, in the psalm that we read or that was sang to us, Psalm 72, they were known as kings. They were spoken as kings from the east, okay? But the gospel actually calls them Magi, and the word Magi actually means wise man. And so what does it mean to be wise? What does it mean to be a wise man? And it's interesting to take a look as we look at the journey of these Magi, how they grew in wisdom. How they grew in wisdom. But originally, we have to take a look at how they started out too, because we are the same as them. Their wisdom, what was their wisdom based upon? Remember, they did not know our Lord God. They were on a journey to know our Lord. And so their wisdom was a natural wisdom. It was a low wisdom. But see, it's interesting to watch that progress of how they grow in wisdom. How they move from magi, from the word magi, to wise men. So let us take a better look at this as we go on from here. So notice God calls these men, as he does many of us. He calls us by natural means. What do? They follow a star. Okay, that's by nature. They're following this bright star in order to encounter our Lord God. And so they know that by studying the star, by studying, because they're wise, okay, by studying, they know that something great is happening because they see it in nature. Isn't that interesting? We need to take a look at that. They see it in nature. They know that something great is there. Okay, we hear about that in Romans 1, chapter 1, around verse 18 or so. We hear that we can actually come to know our Lord God in a natural way by looking at nature's beauty. And it's amazing how when we begin to do that, it draws us deeper to God. Now, why is the Big Bang Theory so dangerous? Why is the Big Bang Theory so dangerous? I know that there's scientists out there. Hey, I'm a scientist, okay? My undergraduate degree, I went to college at Tennessee Tech University. Now you know a little bit more about me. That's where my southern accent comes from, okay? All right, so when I say y'all, y'all know, y'all understand, okay? So it's terrible to have a southern accent sometimes. So I have a science background. Yes, I definitely believe science is compatible with our faith. John Paul II taught that. He emphasized that. Some of the greatest scientists were priests. The Catholic Church. And so we take a look. Why is that Big Bang Theory so dangerous? Because like I said, nature points towards God. You can't bring something out of nothingness. I mean, you can't have an explosion and then all of a sudden have stuff without something behind that explosion. God has to be behind that. But see, by taking God out of the picture, what we do is we no longer can encounter God in the beauty of nature. It actually removes us a step from God when we begin to leave God out of the creation picture. So see, that's how they usurp. That's how evil usurps the authority of God. By taking God out of the picture of his creation. By saying God is not behind the created. Not behind the beauty of the mountains. We have to be careful, because through nature, we can come to a knowledge of God, not a full knowledge, a limited knowledge that then draws us deeper into God. Because see, we see what the wise men do. The Magi begin to follow the star. They begin to follow that, and where does it lead them originally? Okay, it leads them originally to Jerusalem, and here they go into Jerusalem, and what do? They naturally think that there's a king behind this. So who do they go to? They go to the king, because a king must come from royalty itself. So if they're going to encounter a king, so they assume this king, Herod, must be behind this king. So when they get there, King Herod's flabbergasted. He's like, what? What's going on here? And so King Herod is a little bit confused, a little bit agitated, because here's these men from foreign countries, Gentiles, who come into his nation and start asking him questions about this king. And Herod's really nervous about now, because he doesn't want to lose his power. How many of us don't want to lose our power? Because the more we come to know Christ, the more we have to surrender to him. We have to surrender our autonomy to him. But yet in surrendering our autonomy to him, we actually gain autonomy. We gain freedom. See, now, how are we encountering ourselves in the characters? Okay? You take a look at that. So Herod's upset and he's frustrated. So what does he do? He calls his
court together. He calls his court, which consists of some of the scribes and priests. Okay, and they come together and they reveal to him through scripture. You know, they use sacred scripture and they reveal to Herod, yes, this is what happens. There's this king, okay? But it's interesting what the Magi notice from these scribes, from these Pharisees, from Herod's court. They notice something very interesting. Here's a king who has no clue what's happening in his kingdom and is afraid to be usurped, have his authority usurped. And then here's these court officials who know the prophecy, the scriptural prophecy, but could care less. Could care less. They know the scriptural prophecy, but they could care less. Now that's confusing to the Magi. How do we find ourselves there? As we hear the word of God and we begin to know what is present before us, and we come to know our faith in a deeper way, what is our response? Do we pursue a deeper understanding of our faith? Do we go with the Magi, or do we just send the Magi off on their own? Because that's what happens. The Magi then go off on their own. They go because they see an inconsistency in the court of Herod. They go on their own. They persevere in their faith, in their search. Now, isn't that interesting? Because they didn't give up when they encountered difficulties. And how we should reflect the same thing when we encounter difficulties. The fact that parents, clergy, and others should have led us to Jesus. How many clergy, how many parents, yes, parents, and how many others out there, friends, have failed to lead us into a deeper faith life? They were either asleep, ignorant, or just plain lazy. I'm amazed at the conversion. When I hear conversion stories of people, I am amazing how their conversions came about despite the daunting obstacles that they faced in their life to overcome that. When people are converted, take a look at Scott Hahn, his conversion, but take a look at many of the people in our RCIA program. Take a look at some of these people who are struggling against their own family, who As they're coming, as these RCIA people are coming into the church, they're struggling against their own family. Their family who accuses them and says they're going to go to hell because they're going to become a Catholic. And how many of us are unable to help those RCIA people when they say, what do I do? Why do you guys have these statues? Why do you have a crucifix? Why do you do this? What about the Eucharist? Tell me about sacred scripture. How do you encounter this in sacred scripture? And when we're ignorant, when we're incapable, and when a priest is lazy and the priest doesn't even know scripture, these poor people have this massive difficulty that's right before them. But yet, somehow, some way, they make it, just like each and every one of us have slowly made our way here. We are called to persevere. I remember when when God called me to be a priest, and I didn't want to be a priest, all right? And after I finally said, okay, God, I went to my local priest, and I told him, and this is a super long time ago, and that priest looked at me, and he could have cared less. He really did good, and here I am today. Lord only knows how I made it, and despite my own self, too, because I did everything to wreck my vocation, to prove to God he was wrong, because we can be our own enemies, guys. And somehow, some way, I made it to where I was, to where I am. That priest wanted nothing to do with me, and you know what my response was? See, I told you so. Like that. But God is the hound of heaven. He'll chase us down. So it's interesting, after they had left, and after they began to pursue the natural course of that star, they arrived in Bethlehem, and they were overjoyed when they arrived there because they saw where it rested, and they entered in. And they prostrated themselves before our Lord Jesus Christ. They prostrated themselves, it says. They prostrated themselves. We hear the word prostrated. In other words, they fell down. That's in Greek, there's a meaning to this word prostration. It's a falling down. It's a worshiping God. And that's what they did. They fell down on their face. They were overwhelmed by that fact, by what they encountered. They fell down. Now I thought it was interesting because, see, here were some willing participants. They encountered Jesus Christ and they fell down willingly. They were Gentiles. They fell down willingly. You know, in the Gospel of John, when they go out to arrest Jesus and they're looking for Jesus and Jesus says, I am he. They used the same word. They fell down. The soldiers fell down. All those people who came out to arrest them fell down, came out to arrest Jesus, fell down. The same exact word that was used for the wise men there. But see, they were unwilling to fall down, those who came out to arrest Jesus. It just shows you that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So when we encounter our Lord Jesus Christ in the most sacred Eucharist, do we willingly bow down before him? Do we willingly submit ourselves to him? And when I say submit ourselves, I'm not just talking about submitting, I'm receiving Holy Communion. I mean submitting our lives to him willingly. And we're going to see how the Magi do that, how they submit themselves, how they did homage willingly. Because, see, our faith is not mechanical. Because, see, when we become accustomed to something, we become abusive of it. Familiarity, we all know this, it's the same, familiarity breeds contempt. In other words, when we do not want to grow in our faith, but we just become accustomed and happy where we're at in our faith life, it breeds contempt. So when we receive our Lord God, when we're coming up for our Lord God, instead of a conversion experience, we just experience, I'm coming up, And I hear this, I'm coming up for some bread. It's not called bread, it's called the Eucharist. It's called the body of Christ. Because bread's familiar. It's called the body of Christ. I cringe when I hear people say, oh, the bread, the wine, give me a little wine with my meal. I wonder what our guardian angels are doing at that time. What they're thinking. You know, I always had this image that when we come up to receive communion, I always think about this. I know my guardian angel standing behind me, but I really think that our guardian angels, they know us completely. I wonder where their sword's at. I always think about that. Where's my guardian angel's sword at? I think it's God's mercy that stays their hand because our guardian angels are so zealous for God, but God's mercy stays their hand. Because none of us deserve to receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. The wise men realized that, and that's why they prostrated themselves. See, what it is wisdom. Wisdom is manifested in the Magi. The beginning of wisdom is actually, it says in sacred scriptures, in Proverbs, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So when we approach our Lord Jesus Christ, what type of fear do we have, or do we just have familiarity? Do we fear our lowliness approaching a great king? Well, see, when the Magi approached, what did they give? They gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What does that mean? Gold symbolizes all of our possessions, everything that we possess. And laying this gift before Jesus, they are saying, I acknowledge that everything I have is yours. Everything I have. See, that's what the symbol of gold is. Everything that I have is yours. Not one iota that I have is mine except my sin. That's the only thing that I possess in my life is my sin. But everything else is yours, God. The frankincense is actually a gift of worship. It's like the incense that we use. In the Bible, the incense is a prayer of worship going up before God and laying down this gift. We promise, because like the Magi, when we lay down our frankincense before our Lord God, we are promising our Lord God that we are going to pray and worship Him every day. Every day. We are going to pray and worship our Lord God every single day. That's what frankincense is for us, when we place that before our Lord God. Myrrh. Now, myrrh is a strange gift. It's usually meant for ointment, burial. It's what they anoint the dead with, and then they wrap the dead in the burial cloths. It's an ointment for anointing the dead. What does that mean for us when we place myrrh before our Lord God? We are saying to our Lord, I am willing to die to myself. I am willing to die to myself for love of you. Just like John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. See, when we persevere in our journey towards Christ, we grow in wisdom and we grow in the fear of our Lord God. And that fear of our Lord God is recognizing our unworthiness to be before him, to come before him, to receive, be received by such a great king. See, like the Magi, we are called to a deep conversion in our life. And it's not a one-day conversion, but it's a lifelong conversion. Each one of us are called on this journey. But we have to recognize what stages we are at on this journey and who we are, what characters in the sacred scripture we are. Are we Herod at times? Yes, I'm Herod at times. Are we the king's court at times, those priests and those prophets in his court? The scribes, yes, I am at times. Am I also like the wise men at times? Yes, I am. And I'm overwhelmed at times with awe of the Lord God and recognizing my own sinfulness as I stand before Him. And so in that moment, I am called to prostrate myself before Him and to recognize a great King, a Savior, one who desires to save me as He desires to save each and every one of us here. So let us humble ourselves before our Lord God. If we've stopped in the journey, let us begin. If we become complacent, let us remove ourselves from that complacency. But let us recognize that God wants to save each and every one of us. But we must be willing to journey as the Magi were.